I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We start with manned space. Three astronauts return to Earth. A long, long return to Earth. Bob, a very good evening to you. Who is it did 371 days? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Yes, three astronauts, one American, Frank Rubio, and two Russians, Sergei Prokopyev and Dmitry Petelin, returned to Earth this past week after 371 days at ISS. And their mission was over a year. It's the third longest manned flight ever. The other two that were longer was Valery Polyakov's 439-day mission, a year and like 14 and a half months back in 94 and 95. And then Sergei Avdeyev did a 381-day mission in 98 and 99. Those two records were done on Mir, the Russian Mir station. This is the longest flight on ISS as yet. It was actually an accident because they were originally supposed to only do a six-month mission. But if you remember, the Soyuz capsule that brought them up to ISS, that was to bring them back after 6 months, developed a leak in its coolant system in the service module shortly after it was launched, a few months after it was launched, and they could not use that to come back. And so the Russians brought that back to unmanned and launched an empty Soyuz capsule to bring these guys home. But that empty capsule wasn't going to be launched and then returned immediately. The Russians said, no, we don't want to do that. And the Russians have been always very eager to do long missions on ISS and have had to fight NASA every step of the way to get it done. And so they've done it, and they've managed that in a few different ways. And this was another way. They suddenly said, well, we have to have that capsule stay up for 6 months for scheduling reasons. And so this six-month mission became a year-long mission. And so these guys came back. As I've been told by one of the Russians who did a year-long mission when I was in Moscow interviewing people for leaving Earth, it takes, however long you're in space, it takes about that long back on Earth to get completely back to normal. If you're there 3 months, it'll take 3 months to get completely back to normal. Within a month or two, you're functioning reasonably normal on Earth, but physically and internally, there are still issues that are going to take time to come back to normal. And so these guys were up for a year, and they should expect some issues that are going to take time to come back to safe. It'll take them probably a couple of months before they're walking normally and have some physical strength to be able to get around easily. And remember, even this decline, you do an average of 3 hours of exercise in space a day. Maybe 2 hours a day, but then the last month or so before you're going to come home, you up it to 3 hours minimum a day where you're working on a treadmill, you're doing other kinds of things with the equipment they have on ISS to try to get your physical strength up for coming back to Earth gravity. But it still takes a long time. And that's one of the reasons when the guys are removed from the capsule, the Russians have a lot of experience in this, they are immediately put into lawn chairs to rest and given some orange juice and something to drink and something to give them energy because the gravity of Earth is suddenly very difficult to handle. But they made it. 371 days, longest American flight ever. The first one that really exceeded a year, Scott Kelly on the NASA mission a few years ago was not a year-long mission. He only was up for about 11 months. So this is the first American year-long mission, John.
Blue Origin. What is striking about this story is that Blue Origin is struggling with the same FAA that SpaceX is struggling with. It looks like it's not particular to Musk, it's the FAA.
I have a feeling that this began with SpaceX and Elon Musk, but it is really a symptomatic of the Biden administration and the Democratic Party's desire to regulate, maybe for good intentions, but usually you know where that leads. But it appears now that the New Shepard suborbital craft of Blue Origin has been partly delayed and significantly, not just by Blue Origin's slow manner of doing things, but because of the FAA. Blue Origin had in September of last year, a suborbital unmanned New Shepard flight, the booster, the bottom half, had a problem, a failure. Didn't land correctly, crashed. The capsule came back okay, but which means if people had been on it, they would have been all right. But that incident shut them down, and they investigated. Well, Blue Origin completed its investigation in March. They released their investigation in March and said they knew what their actions, the corrective actions they needed to do. And then things have been sitting for months and months and months and months. And I assume this is because of Blue Origin's slowness to get things fixed. Well, it turns out it's not just that. The FAA only closed its investigation of this accident. And by the way, they really did know that they can't do any investigation. They don't know how this works. There's nobody qualified at the FAA to do this kind of work. They're dependent on Blue Origin's engineers to do this. So but the FAA only closed its investigation this week. This week, six months after Blue Origin closed its investigation. Why would the FAA investigation didn't reveal anything new? It was all basically what Blue Origin figured out. So why did they wait six extra months? And that's almost certainly contributed to the delay, because if they don't close their investigation, Blue Origin is kind of stuck. And on top of that, having closed this investigation, the FAA states that this does not mean they're going to get a launch license. Blue Origin has to implement all corrective actions that impact, by, this is an exact quote from SpaceX, that impact public safety and to receive a license modification for a future launch. And this is basically the same thing with SpaceX. It seems that with the Biden administration, regulation has become the most important thing, and things are slowing down. I had noticed this a month or so ago, that new launch companies that tried to launch last year, have not been launching this year, and I've been wondering why, and I think I know why now. I think that the regulatory administrative state is putting its foot down and slowing everything down.
The delays in Artemis, Bob, are we surprised?
How many times have we talked about delays in SLS and Artemis in the almost two decades that I've been coming on your show, John? It's like a broken record. There was a very nice detailed update on this from NASASpaceflight.com, which I linked to on Behind the Black with some additional analysis. And it appears there are some problems with Artemis that aren't a surprise, but are there. And this has to do with SLS and the mobile launch platform. The second Artemis mission is going to go around the moon with people. Oh my gosh. It's a second time they're going to fly this SLS rocket. The first time Orion will have its environmental systems, and they're going to put people on it, go around the moon. The third flight is supposed to be the landing flight in tentatively 26 now. The fourth flight, which we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know. It's expected in 27, but it's not going to happen because of other issues. First, that mission requires a larger upper stage, and that's far behind schedule and won't be ready till 28. And I think that's an optimistic date. And the second thing is that because of that larger upper stage, they need a new mobile launch platform. I've talked about this before. They spent $500 million building the mobile launch platform for SLS, but they're only going to use it three times because it uses a shorter version first upper stage. And now once they get the larger upper stage, that $500 million product that NASA paid to build is now a piece of scrap. And they have to build a new one, and that one is also delayed until 27. So the third manned Artemis mission conceivably could delay it a significant amount of time, which is just par for the course of this entire program. I must point out that the first SLS mission, which launched last year, was originally supposed to launch in 2015. It's a little bit delayed, and so we should expect further delays, John.
Starlink making money, Space Force contract. Business as usual, correct, Bob?
This is a little different, and it's a good thing because it is an example of capitalism in space, the government accepting the idea of being a customer instead of a builder and buying it from the private sector. For decades, the Pentagon has tried to build its own communication satellites and has been increasingly failing to do that because they get more and more expensive, and they get fewer and fewer and more delayed, and then when they launch, if they fail, you've got decades of delay involved. And so they created the Space Force partly to get the Pentagon to change its philosophy. With a Space Force instead of in the Air Force, they have focused on what they need rather than Air Force considerations. So the Space Force has now issued a $70 million contract to SpaceX to use a military version of Starlink to provide communications and broadband capabilities to the military. In other words, SpaceX introduced last year a what it called Star Shield, which is essentially using Starlink in a upgraded, hardened format that will give it military security requirements. And they introduced this version last year, and so now the Space Force has bought it. They're going to pay them up to $70 million to use the Star Shield version of Starlink to provide broadband communication to the military. And this is, once again, where the military isn't building it. They're buying it off the private sector, and it saves them a lot of money, and they get it quick. And that's a good thing.
Sierra Space is Dream Chaser. Where is it, Bob? It's been a decade.
Yeah, Dream Chaser has been taking a long time to launch. Sierra Space, I think, started out like a big space company. It did not want to really commit a lot of its own investment dollars in building Dream Chaser, and so things were slow, especially since it was a fixed-price contract, and they don't get paid unless they've reached milestones. So if you're not going to commit your own funds, you can't go anywhere. But so they went very, very slowly. But I think in recent years, things are changing. Right now, Dream Chaser, they say, will be ready to launch by the end of this year. And it looks like that might be the case. Things have been picking up. They've been doing a lot of work on their Life space station module, and they're getting ready to build a full-scale version of it now. And they've signed deals with Mitsubishi and other companies to fly Life module in space with other companies in partnership. Well, I think one of the reasons is that they've really been more successful recently in getting private investment capital. They just announced this week that they've raised almost $300 million in new capital in a new funding round, and that raises the total private capital they've raised for the company to $1.7 billion. That's a lot of money, actually, to work with. And they have partnerships, once again, with several Japanese. And this money, by the way, new money raised, was raised from Japanese partners. And they've already got, including Mitsubishi, Japan Airlines, and another company called Kanamatsu. And they've made already deals with Mitsubishi to work together on their life station. So this thing seems to be picking up with Sierra Space, and I'm actually expecting that their pace to suddenly become more like a private space company instead of a big space company, and things will happen.
India's success on landing on the moon now turns into India's ambition for a manned mission. When, Bob?
They have been targeting, well, actually, the Gaganyaan manned mission was actually supposed to happen 2 years ago. But guess what? The panic over COVID stepped in, and India shut down for 2 years, and so it's been delayed. They're now targeting next year for this first mission, but I expect that to slip for sure. But they are making serious progress, so if it slips, it won't be by a lot. For example, they have now successfully completed testing of the upgraded upper stage engine of their biggest rocket. The most powerful version of their GSLV rocket is called the LVM-3. Their names are so, I wish they'd come up with real names. But the LVM-3 is their biggest version, and it had an upgraded, more powerful upper stage. This is for the manned flights. And they've now completed their engine tests on the upper stage with the more powerful engine, and that was a success. And they've also completed now the upgrades to the lower stage engines as well as the service module that they're going to use on the capsule itself. And so they are moving close to their first manned mission, John, and I would expect it to happen, if not next year, in early 25, probably.
Iran launches a spy satellite, a success with a ballistic missile, I presume. A spy satellite functioning? Is there a report of it?
We just know it's in space. This is the third time in the last 3 years that they've used their Qased rocket, and it's solid. Rocket fueled, and that's a rocket. It's a mobile launched rocket too. So that's you're right, John. It's some form of ballistic missile, but it launched into orbit, which is a different kind of mission and has to be modified for this. It launched a NOR spy satellite into orbit, and this is the third NOR satellite that they've launched since 20. It has an inclination in orbit of 60 degrees, which means it covers 2/3 of the Earth's surface and most of the occupied inhabited parts of the planet. Whether it's working in space, we don't know. These are not big satellites, and we don't know their sophistication, but this is the third one they've launched. I suspect that they launched each one about a year apart because they only function for a short period of time, and they need to replace it with the next launch, and that's what happened.
Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.